Welcome to the Packet Pushers Weekly Show. This week, we follow up a discussion we had with a company called Revelo Systems at the time, going back to June 2015 in Weekly Show episode 241. Since then, Revelo's been up to big things, having been integrated into the mighty tech juggernaut of Oracle, and thus we've got the rebranded Oracle Revelo Cloud Service with us today. Well, why today? Oracle Revelo has been busy baking new features into the product, including networking 2.0, and today we discuss these features and capabilities. Joining us for the conversation are Itzik Musari, Senior Principal Product Manager, and Abhinav Gupta, Director of Product Management. And let's jump right into the conversation with Abhi. Abhi, would you please start us off with an introduction to Oracle Revelo Cloud Service for the good people that have not heard of you before?
Absolutely, Ethan. So Revelo as a startup has been existed for a couple of years before Oracle acquired us. And just to give you a bit of a history about Revelo, why the company was started. Back in the day, when enterprises were deeply entrenched in their data centers and they were looking to move to cloud, they were running into a big issue here. There was a big gap between what data center exposed to them in terms of capabilities and what public cloud could offer. And our team actually see that as an opportunity. We started working on a platform. We developed a new brand new hypervisor built for cloud called HVX that essentially enabled enterprises to run their VMware VMs with layer 2 networking as is on top of the underlying public cloud. So Revelo essentially is an overlay cloud provider that offers data center-like environments on top of public cloud, such as Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, Amazon Web Services, and Google Cloud Engine. Essentially, our hypervisor has three components. One is a nested virtualization engine that essentially exposes the same sort of devices that a VMware VM or a KVM VM would need to be able to run on top of the underlying cloud infrastructure. And as a result, the enterprises don't have to make any modifications to their VMs. Our networking overlay exposes a clean layer 2 interface to the VMs that are running on top. And that essentially enables us to take an existing application that's running in your data center as is and run it on top of the underlying cloud infrastructure. And the third component is a storage overlay. I'm not sure if you guys knew this, but this is sort of an interesting fact. Revelo was started by the same team that actually built a KVM hypervisor as a part of another startup called Qumranet. So there's a lot of technical expertise around virtualization and networking technologies in our team. And the outcome of all of this cool stuff has been Revelo Cloud Service that is a boon for any enterprise that's looking to move to cloud seamlessly within a couple of hours.
Okay, I can tell you, given this spiel before, you've said you rattled that off so well. Oh boy! But I want to unpack that and review some of those points there, Abhi. So the big thing here, what Oracle Revelo Cloud Service does for me, again, you talked about the hypervisor HVX, and that is to put it in a way we've talked about a lot on the show. It's an abstraction layer that abstracts public cloud services away so that I can, again, and you mentioned I can pick up a VMware workload, I can pick up a KVM workload, move it up to public cloud, it'll run on top of HVX without any modifications. I can take that VMware workload just as it is, move it up to run on top of HVX, and HVX will take care of whatever translations need to happen between that workload and the public cloud that's sitting underneath and actually powering it, correct?
That's correct. Exactly. So our HVX is this very cool technology called binary translation with direct execution that essentially enables us to execute the same instructions that the VMware VM is running on top of us onto the underlying cloud, making it a seamless transition for the enterprises.
Okay. And I would say that's fairly unique. I can't think of anyone else that's done it. There's some other layered products out there, but this, you know, you said Amazon Web Services, you said, of course, Oracle Cloud now, since that's who your parent company is, and Google Cloud are all, again, services that you will run on top of without me, as the consumer of Revelo, needing to know anything about that.
That's correct. Exactly. Think of us as your overlay cloud service provider, your one-stop shop for all your cloud needs. And utilizing us as a vendor, you can publish your workloads to 21 plus data centers around the world across the three public cloud providers that we support.
Okay, so this is actually a good point of clarification. So I don't have to be an AWS customer to use this. I'm actually dealing with Oracle Revelo directly.
Exactly. You don't need to have either a technical or a commercial relationship with any of the underlying cloud providers. We are your one-stop shop for all cloud needs, both from commercial and technical standpoint.
So that's a full abstraction. That's a business and a technology abstraction from the clouds. Your service works independently of any cloud from the point of view of technology. That is, I can run Revelo and I don't have to deal with AWS networking, Google networking, Oracle networking. It's all just Revelo, one platform. But that's not just as a technology, but also as a business relationship. That is, I can bill AWS through Revelo, or am I misunderstanding something?
Well, you will actually be billed by Oracle Revelo, and essentially we'll kind of settle the accounts from the underlying cloud providers on our own at an aggregate level.
Wow. So I can do business with Oracle. I only have one purchase order per month or whatever, and Oracle then makes AWS, you handle the AWS costs and the Google compute costs, and away you go.
Right, exactly.
Now, that's really unique, see, because you're solving, I think, Ethan, that's really interesting because you're solving both the business issue here as well as the technology issue. Because as somebody who's an engineer who used to have to approve a lot of purchase orders, raising a purchase order every month for Oracle and then AWS and then Google and auditing all of those and signing off on them, that doesn't sound like fun to me.
Well, okay, so there is a lot of value just in that, and as you put it, Greg, the business abstraction. But Abhi, what I'm wondering about here is what my use cases are for this. Because when you talk about an abstraction layer, I think about performance concerns and these kind of things. So I want to understand where Revelo fits into my world. Am I using Revelo as a potentially a lift and shift, moving from my private data center up to public cloud without having to do a lot of retooling of my applications? Or is this like, I need a lab environment. I need a test environment that replicates my data center very closely. And so I just want to use something for that, so I can temporarily set up my app environment, replicate it in the cloud, do some testing, and then I'm going to shut it down again. What is an appropriate scenario, Abhi, where I would be using Revelo?
Right. So, Ethan, Revelo is relevant for all stages of an enterprise application lifecycle that an enterprise may be running in their own data center. You can start off by using Revelo for POC of your enterprise application at the very beginning. Once you have made a selection of an application, you can use it for all your dev test integration needs for that application as well. Once you have done your dev test and you want to ensure that the application has been, use it. Verified, so you can use it for UAT staging, IT ops type use cases as well. After that, if you want to ensure that your application is fully tested from security standpoint, you can use that. You can use Revelo for security testing as well. Once you are happy that this is great, I want to go live with this application, you can use Revelo for production version of that enterprise application as well. And once you have gone live, and if you want to train your user base on that application, you can spin up copies of this environment on Revelo to train your user base. So it's across the board, including pre-production and production use cases.
You just made a pretty big claim here that I want to drill into. And I think we talked about this a couple of years ago in that show I referred to in the intro, but I want to hit it again. And that is, you're telling me right now that I can actually use this for production. All right. So if we're making the assumption then that this application would be appropriate on public cloud in any, whatever the context is, that that's a good place to host this app. If I'm using Revelo and I'm using a hypervisor that is abstracting away public cloud, I feel like my gut says as an engineer, that's going to be a performance penalty. But you're telling me production workloads, no problem, correct?
That's correct. So Ethan, in addition to what we supported about a year back when we recorded the last podcast, right? Our engineering team has been really hard at work, and we have been working on some very cool capabilities running on top of Oracle Cloud infrastructure. So one of these cool capabilities is being able to do nested virtualization that we used to do in software earlier on, say, clouds like AWS and Google Compute Engine. Now we are able to do that in hardware using hardware-assisted nested virtualization capabilities that are built into the hypervisor, which is built into the hardware and exposed to us through the underlying hypervisor. And as a result of these cool capabilities, we are able to offer a ton of better performance than we used to before. In addition, our team also is working on running HVX natively on bare metal as well, which, as you can imagine, with one more layer gone in the middle, has been giving us way better performances than we had at about a year back.
Okay, so even HVX on bare metal, which would be a unique to Oracle Cloud environment as opposed to AWS and Google?
That's correct. Yeah, so HVX on bare metal or using hardware-assisted nested virtualization are two capabilities that will be available on Oracle Cloud infrastructure very, very soon.
Although I guess I don't care in the sense that, as we were talking about earlier, I'm doing business with Revelo. I'm not doing business with cloud providers. So as long as I get the capabilities I'm looking for, the bill comes from you and the service is stood up by you, in a sense, if it's running on Oracle Cloud and that's where I get the performance, whatever, that's fine.
Right.
Okay, I get it. Okay, so I get what you're selling me. I think I understand that. And I also know that a big reason you guys came back to the show today is that you've got a lot of new capabilities. So let's talk through what those new capabilities. Some of them you've mentioned. I know there's some new networking capabilities that you haven't really mentioned yet. Can you you itemize all the new and exciting bits?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I just highlighted is that we have been working hard at bringing hardware-assisted nested virtualization capabilities to our platform, and that is gonna give us a ton of better performance, much bigger VM sizes than what we supported on clouds like AWS and Google until now. But in addition to that, we have also been working on some really cool networking capabilities. You know, until now, our software-defined networking overlay automatically generated the network setup that you had in your data center on top of public cloud, basically mirroring the setup that was already present in the data center. Now, while this is great for maybe 80 to 90% of the scenarios, some situations do not lend themselves well to automatic network generation. For example, if you're a network company such as Arista Networks that build switches, and you have specific needs to connect certain ports of your virtual switch such as VEOS to specific NICs on different VMs to build a leaf-spine architecture in a certain way that gives you the most optimal performance, you do want that granular capability of being able to set up the specific network elements configured the way you want them, rather than having Revelo decided for you or automatically generate it for you. So to accommodate these needs, you need a more granular capability to not only develop but also control a custom network topology. So with Revelo's networking 2.0 capabilities that we are bringing to life, we'll be able to provide the ability for enterprises to have granular control on how the network elements such as virtual switches, virtual routers, subnets inside Revelo are set up and connected. It'll be also able to give you end-to-end visibility on how this network is set up. It'll also give you the ability to take control and develop the topologies from scratch, bypassing the automatic network generation if you desire. And also, one of the unique cases that is very pertinent to networking companies specifically is the ability to create layer 2 only network. And again, that is a unique capability that will be brought to life with networking 2.0 functionality as well.
Okay, I had to think about that for a second, because when you get into networking in the physical world, in your data center versus public cloud, it's a different model. It's a different way of thinking. And so, but if I'm supposed to be using Oracle Revelo to model my existing physical infrastructure, then I actually want that networking capability. I don't want to have to change what's happening to fit the public cloud model. I want to be able to replicate exactly what I've got in my data center. And what you're describing to me is I can build out, as you put it, a very granular topology that exactly matches what I've got, which is going to be helpful for a bunch of different testing that I might want to be doing.
Right, absolutely. And that's exactly the reason why we started working on these networking 2.0 features about a couple of months back, based on some of the feedback that we received from networking companies, enterprises. And Itzik will be kind of walking us through some of the more detailed nuances of what the capabilities are and how they add value to the customers.
Yeah, Itzik, let's hear from you. I know you were involved heavily in the development of these capabilities, so let's get into it. What does networking 2.0 look like for us? Let's dive a little deeper.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. So as Abhi mentioned, our overall or our general goal at the end was to get Revelo environment as a whole one step closer to what we have in the data center. And specifically when dealing with network or network editing, network configuration, we already have some very advanced networking abilities like port mirroring, like the ability to control trunk ports and VLANs in our network, as well as network automation. Our users required some more and more advanced control over the network as a whole. And basically, what we had in mind is, first of all, increase the visibility of what is going on in the network and allow much better control over it, while preserving and actually improving our network automation and automatic creation, generation of the network elements that is happening while I'm dragging VMs and dropping them to the canvas. We find it a very appealing functionality that we have in Revelo, because it might save, and it actually does save, a lot of time when I'm configuring very large scale networks. So these are our main three objectives: increasing the visibility and our ability to configure some additional network elements like switches, like routers, DNS servers, DTP servers, allow me to create a production-like, a data center-like environment that almost or that accurately mimics my networking environment in the data center, while preserving and improving the network automation processes that are doing most of the work for me. So basically what I will have to do as a user is just drag and drop some VMs and at the end perform some fine tuning of the configuration, perform some VLAN configuration, trunk ports configuration, whatever I need to do, in addition, routing tables configuration, whatnot, on top of the automatic processes that were generating whatever they did.
Okay, so we've talked a bit about automation here, and you used a phrase that I thought was really interesting. You said dropping VMs to the canvas. Now, I think that's a really important feature to highlight here for folks that have never seen Revelo before. You actually have a GUI that is a drag-and-drop style design. So when you say dropping VMs to the canvas, you're actually referring to an icon that you drag, drop onto the canvas as part of the environment that you're creating in the Revelo environment. Is that correct?
This is correct. This is correct. Basically, as a user, when I'm using Revelo, I have it is a fully encapsulated environment that, as I said, and we'll probably repeat this, it provides a complete environment like I have in my data center. So I have a repository, a library of the entire list of VMs that I need in order to create my application, my setups, and I am just able to drag these VMs and drop them to a working canvas, which looks like what we would have imagined when we're saying a working canvas. I'm dragging a VM, dropping it to the canvas, and I'm able to, in this way, I'm able to create a full-scale environment. Now, while I'm dragging these VMs and dropping them to the canvas, things happen automatically. And when I'm publishing the application, the publish process is the process when I'm actually uploading this set of VMs to the whichever public cloud on whichever region that I've selected. And when I'm publishing this application, then the internal Revelo processes of working with the underlying cloud infrastructure, only then they are starting to take place. But even before that, the different networking related processes, namely the automatic network creation processes, network generation processes, they are taking place. And the process is based on the information that we gather from the data center VM. Once we have a process of importing this VM directly from our ESX or our vCenter in our data center, I'm able to import this VM along with all kinds of metadata, namely static IP addresses, some VLAN configuration, DHCP configuration. I'm extracting this information along with the VM data to Revelo, and based on this networking information, Revelo can automatically determine what might be the most probable way for the network of this application to be constructed. So, for example, if I have a VM with a static IP of, let's just, I don't know, 192, 168, 10, 13, I would know, or Revelo would know, once this VM is dragged and dropped into the application, that there is an element here, let's call it a subnet or a switch, that is required in order to provide the 192, 168 environment for this specific VM, actually for this specific NIC on this specific VM, right? So, because VMs might have multiple NICs, each NIC might have multiple IP addresses configured on it. So actually, we treat each IP addresses in such a way. We are able to handle, or in the same way, DHCP configured IP addresses and DHCP reservations in some way, and as well as trunk VLANs and all kinds of other related information, DNS names, routing rules, of course, in such a way, according to the information that we are extracting for the from the VM, and actually from the VM while it was on the data center.
So okay, so let's pause here for a second. So all of that information that you're gathering, that I think you've been able to do that right along, correct? Where you're talking to vCenter, you pull out the metadata, you can make inferences about what the VM you're trying to import is going to need from a networking perspective, because you can see all of that and then go from there. You've been able to do that right along, yeah?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
So what has changed? What has changed? This is the question, right?
Yeah,
What do we have better in the networking 2.0 than what we have before? So up till now, we were talking about the canvas. We had another tab in our UI, which is called network. And the network view was a relatively simple view. We were able to see the different subnets. We were able to see for each VM the NICs and the IP configuration, but we were able to control this networking configuration only from the perspective of the VM. Meaning, I was only able to add NICs to the VM, add IP addresses to the VM, and it would have made some effect on the networking as a whole. But for example, I couldn't have directly access the DNS server and edit a DNS entry, or I didn't have control over specific DHCP reservations configuration. And now in the new networking 2.0, we are first of all presenting a completely new model. And the new network model actually We are externalizing this model, which was not a part of the old network. The externalization of the model allows us to work and edit and configure the network, the application's network, either through API or through the UI. But this network model externalizes each and every networking element that we can think of, that we have in mind when we are discussing a network environment data center.
And again, we're not talking just about transport. You've mentioned DNS and DHCP, you know, other key features that function at a higher level, but that are critical for communicating across a network. You've got to have name resolution services. You've got to be able to assign addresses. So in other words, it sounds like you're providing those services without the customer who's trying to set up the environment having to supply their own DNS or DHCP servers. Is that fair?
This is fair, and this is one side of things. We are able to offer some layer 3 services like routing, DNS, and DHCP. And in the new network model, by the way, the user can first of all control the internal configuration of each of them, but also create additional such instances. I can create multiple routers, I can create multiple DNS servers, multiple DHCP servers, so my environment would resemble or mimic exactly, would be identical to the environment that I want to create, that I have in my data center. But of course, we also support, and this is already was already supported in the old network, we also support a VM that is a native VM that is running as a part of the Revel application that would itself serve as a router or a DNS server or a DHCP server. So I am able to configure my VM to either communicate with the Revel router or the Revelo provided router, or with the user's router. The user is able to control it. And actually, I am able to, as a user, I am able to use only some layer 3 application. It's not all or nothing. I'm able to decide that I want to use my own router, but I want to use Revelo DNS or DHCP servers. I am able to configure now in the new network, I am able to configure the DNS server or the DHCP servers that are provided by Revelo to use the user's router that the user has brought into the application. And this is a new functionality that provides us much more granularity, much more flexibility, much more control over the network.
Yeah, okay. So again, typically, or back in the day, it would have been for certain of these services, routing services, DHCP, I would have to give that control over to Revelo. But now I can choose. I can use the Revelo services to do routing for me, to do DHCP for me if I want, or I can say, hey, Revelo, I want you to use this VM that's going to provide that service for me, meaning like if I need to be very particular and use a Microsoft DNS server for whatever my reasons are, for whatever my application is, I can do that. I can use my own routing service because I have some special dependency in my environment on that routing functionality and want to make sure I model that very explicitly. Or not. I can just say, oh yeah, what routing is routing and Revelo can do it for me and that is all I need. So you're stressing here that I've got the choice.
Exactly, and the new network, the new network model, networking 2.0, is exactly about the choice and the flexibility that we provide to our customers. And what we were talking about regarding layer 3 services, it's not even the major item or the big, the really big news in this new functionality. For example, up until now, in the old network, users, in order to create a switch and a subnet, for example, were the same concept. Each new subnet generated a new switch. So what happened for a user that wanted to accommodate multiple subnet on a single switch or whatever, create, I can't even imagine what type of a networking configuration would users like to implement on top of Revelo. The new networking functionality allows us complete separation between these elements. We have the switch element, and the switch element communicates with a port element. Port elements are gathered in VLANs object. VLANs are connected to the subnets. Subnets, on the other hand, the subnet element is a very critical object in our new model because on one hand it connects IP addresses because it is actually grouping IP addresses, which are layer 3 element. It connects them with the VLAN object, which are a layer 2 element. So it creates a sort of a coherent flow between layer 3 and layer 2 levels in the network. But it also connects the layer 3 services to the connected IPs. So it also it is also the object that is using that the model is using to connect between the different layer 3 services and the IP that they are serving. So for example, if I have an IP address that is configured using a DHCP, I can connect this IP address to the relevant subnet. So I would be sure that it would be served by the desired DHCP service that is connected to this subnet.
I get you. Yeah, I really get to pick and choose and puzzle piece this model together however I need it to model my environment. Now, there's so many things I want to drill into here. One thing, you have mentioned layer 2 capabilities. That's come up both from you and Abhi. Now, so first of all, I got to say, layer 2 to me is so anti-cloud, so not the way you're supposed to do networking in cloud applications. But I guess that is something that, I mean, customers are going to need that, right? You have certain applications that just, they're going to need layer 2. So how deep are my layer 2 capabilities? You can say you have layer 2 capabilities, and we know instinctively what that means in a physical network, but in cloud, it isn't so clear cut. I mean, do I have full broadcast? Do I have full multicast? You know, is it truly, you know, a layer two adjacency like we think of in the physical world?
That's a good question. It has actually two parts. So I'll first answer the first part regarding the layer two concepts and cloud environments. While mostly or generally I would agree with your statement, we see that our customers have some specific needs. So, for example, our customers that are switch manufacturers, or even not just switch manufacturers, some virtual appliances, mostly or usually very heavy load networking appliances or networking security appliances, checkpoint appliances, mm-hmm. McAfee appliances, require or are handling layer three connectivity to some extent themselves. They do not need, or the connected VMs, the VMs that are connected to these appliances do not need any layer three connectivity. It actually stands in the way. It interferes with my work. It interferes with my, it looks bad, and it might also interfere with the actual network. So I would need to have pure switch, only a cable connected to a port in the switch that is connected to this specific NIC. And this is a true requirement. This is a true need that came up from the field after so many years that we were not providing this separation. So this is for the first statement. Regarding this, the second, the question itself, how, to what extent do we provide layer two networking? I would say it is never to the full extent. For example, one of our, and we are continuously working on improving our ability, but our ability is there. But for example, broadcast, multicast are obviously supported. ARP requests are getting responses, right? Mm-hmm. But we, for example, we still have a pipeline of additional features that we are going to provide. So, for example, we are in a few months' time from now, we are going to provide the ability to turn off port learning on a switch. MAC learning on a port. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yep.
In this way, a user will be able to turn our switch into a hub and actually provide a way to our users to directly, sort of, or simulate a direct connection between two physical NICs. So, for example, and as we are discussing again, a layer two appliances manufacturers like Arista, if we are forcing them to put a switch between two of their switches, we are in the way, right? Because our switch is doing something, is doing MAC learning, is right. managing packets and tagging.
You need a way to have that direct connect, but not be involved in the conversation, just to simply be a pass-through. So, right, you've created this, you will create this ability to, as you put it, turn a switch into a hub. Interesting, yeah.
Exactly. We are continuously working on this. Obviously, we have a long pipeline ahead of us, but more than 90% of your more than basic functionality, both in layer 2 and layer 3, is already there, because most of the functionality was already provided in the old network model. What with the major thing that we were doing now is not necessarily changing the network overlay functionality, the layer that Abhi mentioned earlier, the functionality that provides our layer three services and switch their behavior, rather than externalize all kinds of different elements to the user. So the user will have the ability and flexibility to control them, and thus allow the users to create and generate and actually the flexibility to actually draw a network diagram that would actually work. And it would be identical to what they have in the data center. This is the main concept. Alongside with this, and again, just to wrap up, just to summarize, alongside with it, we are continuously working on improving our network overlay functionality and features in order to provide additional features to our switching, to our switches, to our routers, to our DNS servers and DHCP servers. So, for example, this concept is also true for our layer 3 services. For example, for DNS servers, we are currently supporting A type entries and PTR type entries. There is a requirement to allow additional types of DNS entries, and this is a legitimate requirement, and this is well ahead in our roadmap because we want to be there. We want for the Revelo environment, we want for it to provide the exact same environment like we have in the data center.
No, this is really interesting because what's funny is you've got so many features already baked into this, including true layer 2 with broadcast and multicast, which is going to be great for 90% plus of the people that are listening and their use cases and how they'd want to build this. And you're saying we've got a long roadmap of all these other things we're going to do, and then you're talking about smaller and more more corner case specific kind of features that you need to bake in. Okay, which tells me you've got the major foundations covered, and now you're looking ahead. You've been in conversation with people that are using the product, telling you, well, it would be nice if we had this little feature because that would solve this little problem for us. And you're going, oh yeah, we can do that. And so, as you put it, long roadmap ahead of additional features that you can build in to the networking stack. So that is that really says a lot about the depth of the development cycle that you're in with the product and where you're really at. This isn't just you're coming out of the gate. You've been doing this for a while, and now it's, all right, now we got to tune this, add this knob to this certain feature, and so on. So there's a lot of history and then a lot of looking ahead because of the communication you've been having with customers, which to me is very appealing.
So let me take this a little bit of away. We've talked all about the functionalities of how you can basically emulate whatever data center, enterprise data center you've got. We can pick it up and emulate it on top of a public cloud, right? But what about visibility? I think it's not enough to say, I can make a photocopy of your existing data center. I've got to have better tools. So when I go into the public cloud, it's all about visibility and telemetry and analytics. I can see where my network is. I configure it all. It's in an interface which shows me this app, this network. Have you got tools in this space as well around visibility?
Well, this is one of our major goals that we had. So in order for the difference to be clear, I'll describe what we had in the old network. So as I said, we had this network canvas that provided some sort of diagram of the subnets, and I was able to see the VM's view of the network, the different NICs, the different IP addresses. And I was able to control additional IPs, of course, on each NIC and additional NICs on each VM. But the new network editing and the networking 2.0 functionality and ecosystem provides me a much deeper view of every single network element that we have in our model, also in the UI. So if I am looking at the UI, so first of all, I see a very similar, at least at first stages, I see a very similar diagram of the model, because the diagram is important. Everyone who was working with large-scale networks would, first of all, try to draw something, try to make sense of all the mess that we have have there, different switches, different routers, different all kinds of server, all kinds of layers that are all connected to each other. So we have the diagram, which, and I'll get to it later if I had a chance to talk about future work, but we have a very complete navigation tree that allows us to run through each and every element in the system, starting from the different switches that we have, and for each switch, the different ports that are configured in it, and the different VLANs that are configured in it. Then I can go and drill down to the subnets and to the layer 3 server, the different layer 3 services, all the routers that I have, all the DNS servers, DHCP servers. Each one of them has its own service NICs. These NICs are connected to switches on their turn, and I can actually drill down and navigate through all kinds of tables, very deep, detailed tables for each of these elements. So, for example, I am able to dive into or drill down to a DNS server, and I can see some general properties for it, and I can see the list of all DNS table entries that I have there. I can see all kinds of all the IP addresses that I find on it, the VMs that are relevant for it, the NICs that are relevant for this specific entry, and I'm able to click and navigate to this relevant object. So for example, I look at A-type entry of the DNS, and I see that it is related for one of my VMs. So I can just click on this VM and go to it, or click on the NIC and just navigate to this specific NIC and see all kinds of configuration, the relevant configuration on this NIC. So for example, I can see to which switch and to which port does this NIC connect it to, and I'm able to disconnect this NIC directly from the NIC. I'm able to disconnect it from the port and maybe connect it to another port on the switch, or can just navigate to directly to the switch and port and see which VLANs are defined on this port and which type of policy, egress policy, I have configured for this VLAN, whether it is tagged or untagged, and I'm able to configure it and control it. So when we are trying to imagine this, we can think of two main use cases or two main flows that these types of tables would be useful for. The main, and I think the most important one, is troubleshooting. We need to remember, we're dealing with a very complicated network setups here, and things might not work well, or let's assume even the automation process did something that was just slightly accurate and not completely accurate. And I need to find...
Is slightly accurate like kind of like fake news?
I think it's also interesting in that because everything's software, just to diverge a little bit, everything's software, right? Because I'm thinking about how your product came about. You have the hypervisors, you have the network adapter. Everything crosses those network adapters, right? I'm going to see everything that's going across the NIC. Right. So for the first time ever, there's a whole bunch of things that I can do that I was never able to do with hard silicon. Like I can count every single frame going through the Ethernet because I don't have to use a special driver, or because I don't have a difference between all the different Ethernet silicon in the world. They have never converged on a thing. So this ability for you, to me, it seems obvious that you're going to have visibility because everything's going through your platform. You configured something, then you see the data moving through the something. So you created these virtual NICs somewhere. And so you're really going, it's really just a case of representing the data. Boom. Isn't it?
This is correct. Although this is not available yet, this is something that it's not available mainly because we yet haven't got really high requirement, very high demand for such features. But obviously, one of our unique abilities in the network, and it actually was already there for quite a while, is our ability to mirror a port. I can select a specific switch port and configure it to be a mirrored port. And what it means is that I am able to connect some kind of whatever sniffing device I want, I'm using, to this port, and I can sniff the entire traffic on the switch or on the specific VLAN, not the entire switch. Well, it depends, either VLAN or switch. And this is one of this feature is unique because of this behavior of or this trait that you've just mentioned, Greg, because of our ability to see everything, and we can just decide, okay, this port is mirrored, I will just run everything through it. And by the way, we are going to improve this ability and provide some additional ability to do the same even a bit lower level, but this is future. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's key to understand. I think as an architect, I look at your solution and sort of have to visualize the 360 degree and the answer. You know, how does this work? And normally we think of, you know, software creates a packet, hands it off to the NIC does something, and then it hands it off to the electrical signals on the wire, and the switch does its forwarding. In your case, it's all software. The packet goes in, and this changes the nature of the PHY layer, if you like. Your PHY becomes a virtual. Instead of thinking about electrical signals, everything goes across your software. And this combination of the fact that I configured that there, therefore I know what that is. Instead of in Ethernet networks, we don't actually know stuff. We don't know how many MAC addresses there are or where they are. So we just flood them across the entire network. That's how we discover each other, right? And that was done for a reason. But in software, you actually say, I put that VM right there, and that's its MAC address, and that's where it's connected. And, you know, and it's connected because you know all of that in your platform, and then you display all that in a graphical interface. You don't have little fairy tales happening in your network. You know, like somebody says, such and such is over there, and you go looking for it, and you find it's a fairy tale. It's not actually in that rack, and so you go skipping down the yellow brick road looking for the lost, you know, firewall pair. And you don't do that in your environment because everything is where it's supposed to be. So visibility and troubleshooting is radically different from a structural point of view, I think.
I couldn't agree more because it's even more than that. Imagine if I have a really complicated network, I have all sorts of different vendors and all sorts of different monitoring tools and management tools that I need to use in order to find out what's happening to a packet. I have different networking appliances, different switches, in order to see if my router is correctly connected to this specific VLAN that the VM is connected to. I would need to go to the router physically and follow up the connection, the actual cable, and see which port, and then verify the VLAN, and then do the same with the VM. And it's a very long process. And here, it's all in the same place. I have a table. I can click on the router, click on its NIC, see where this router's NIC, which port and on switch is connected to. I can see which VLAN is relevant for this specific NIC, and I can see if this and the and I can see if the VM that I'm interested in is connected to the same VLAN or to the same switch. And troubleshooting is becoming much easier. Going through following up a thread of communication between one node and another node in the network becomes a matter of two or three clicks in a table.
We've mentioned a few times, it's like that there are third-party switches or routers or firewalls that we can drop into this environment. So before, Revelo was doing maybe a lot of that for us. Now we can add these third-party appliances. How do we do that exactly? Because I'm just kind of remembering your Canvas, drag and drop. How do I get my Cisco or Juniper or Fortinet, whatever it is, third-party appliance into this application setup?
It is very simple. Most of it was already there for a while, but we have some improvements. So basically, the process is very simple. I'm treating, as a user, and Revelo is actually treating these appliances like any other VM. We don't know, we don't actually care, because we are just running VMs. HVX, our hypervisor, is just running VMs. And we're dragging this VM and dropping into the canvas. And from this moment on, it gets a static IP on a specific subnet, and it is connected to a specific switch and on a specific VLAN. And from this moment on, I'm able to configure each and every VM in this VLAN or in this switch or in this subnet to use this IP address, the IP address of this router or this appliance as a router, as a DNS server, as a DTP server. So this was already there. This was already there for a long time. The new thing that we have, the new functionality that we have added, is our ability to have our L3 services, our layer 3 services, to use this VM as well as a router or a DNS server or a DTP server. This is a new functionality, and it's I cannot even explain how simple it is. It's just a matter of configuration in a very specific box that says router IP address, and then you put the router IP address. This is it. This is all there is to it.
Oh, so basically, it's a matter of saying, okay, I just dropped in this firewall virtual machine. I want you, Revelo application system, to use this as a router, and then it will. Not any more complex than
yes.
that.
Yes. Well, actually, yeah, and actually, it is a bit. It's slightly different than that. Not more complicated, but slightly different, because there we need to remember that there are two networking environments that we are talking about. One of them, the first one, is the Revelo networking that we need to configure in order for the network, the Revelo network overlay, to be configured correctly to allow the correct flow between VMs. Now, on top of that, we must configure the VMs themselves. The VM itself must be configured internally. It needs to know to send the packets. The NICs on these VMs internally, the OS needs to know how to send the packets. Then it needs to know which is my static IP address, which is my router, DNS server. So on top of configuring Revelo network overlay or network or SDN, we need to make sure that internally the specific VM OS knows about all this configuration. Now, usually this is the case. Why is that? Because we are getting this configuration, these static IP addresses or static configuration, we are getting this already from the ES6 server, from the vCenter in the data center. It was already configured like that. And this is a true lift and shift. We were talking about lift and shift use cases. This is a true lift and shift. I'm just migrating the VM as it is in my data center, and I don't need to do anything, and it will just know how to communicate with the previously configured router address, DNS server address, DHCP server address, and I just need to make sure that all these elements, all these pieces of the puzzle are also there available for in the Revelo application environment.
Which again, it sounds like typically, as you put it, that is a vCenter metadata kind of an issue. You pull vCenter, you know about the VM and pull those IPs. You're just saying if you're going to do a lift and shift of that VM from your environment, that all of that metadata comes through, and there may be some more types of metadata because it's a different sort of an appliance. It's not just an endpoint with an IP address and a gateway. It's a networking device that's got more stuff, more NICs, more addresses potentially that Revelo right. needs to know about.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so last question here. With all of this new networking 2.0 features and functionality, the more granularity we've got, the increased visibility, etc., the use cases that you're seeing people pick up and do with this, what are the big, the big stories or the things that you want to highlight that people are doing with this?
Yeah, so we were talking a great deal about the layer 2 separation, layer 2, pure layer 2 connectivity. So I won't discuss this any longer, but there are many other cases. So for example, I mentioned earlier when I was talking about the network model that previously, switch object or switch concept and the subnet were the same. So with each new subnet that I wanted to, in order to create a switch, I had to create a new subnet and vice versa. It was not that convenient and it was limiting in many cases. So now, for example, when I'm able to configure whatever I want, I'm able to configure multiple VLANs on the same switch, and for each VLAN, I'm able to call to control how many subnets that I want. I'm able to configure how many subnets that I want, and I'm able to configure even the same subnet on the two different VLANs. Automation might not work all the time because automation needs to have things in order and needs to have things deterministically configured. But manually, I can do whatever I want. Another example, which is actually related to automatic processes that we improved, is our ability to create a very understandable and coherent network that is generated automatically. So when I'm dragging, I'm able to now drag and drop VMs from multiple VLANs, multiple subnets, and automatically, Revelo would create for me a backbone of multiple switches, and for each switch I would have a separate VLAN. For each VLAN I would have a separate subnet. Everything would be very, very clear for me. So also from the sense of looking at the diagram or looking at the tables, I would all of a sudden easily understand what's going on in my network. Another very important change that we had is shifting some of the functionality from the VM properties that we had back then to the correct place for them in the network. So, for example, DHCP reservations would be managed and handled in the DHCP servers, the different DHCP servers, as well as egress policy. Egress policy, meaning the way the port handled each packet according to the VLAN tag, was used to be configured on the VM properties, only on the VM, because we didn't have any other place. Now it is shifted to its natural place, to its much more understandable place, which is the port itself. So in the port, I'm able to create multiple VLAN connections, and for each VLAN, I'm able to configure tagged or untagged policy. Currently, we are supporting what is known as access on, or trunk ports, but we were talking about a roadmap. We are working on even flexing this ability even more and not forcing trunk or access rather than generic tagging or untagging on each VLAN.
Mm, that sort of added flexibility. It's not just enough to just copy the data, but to copy your existing data center, but to start adding features to it that you can use. Exactly. It starts to add value to the core functionality. So I don't suddenly have to start futzing around with MPLS or some other esoteric technology to start getting desirable functions. I can just start to say to myself, I can use features inside of Revelo, Oracle Revelo, to get this done.
Exactly. Exactly. And another improvement that we had, and again, I will talk about automation. We take automation very seriously, and we think very greatly about it. We separated the automation. I would not dwell into the details. We separated into two different automation processes and algorithms. But now, in the new network, we are actually able to create a network backbone, meaning I'm able to create a complete environment with no VM, a complete networking environment only that only consists of switches, ports, subnets, VLANs. And I'm able to save this as a blueprint, as a template, and send it to someone else. And this someone else is able to just drag and drop the VMs to this existing predefined backbone, and things will connect automatically. So I would not need this. Let's say this other person is not that technical or does not have a deep understanding of the backbone, but they do know that they need to use some kind of VMs or some group of VMs for their use case. Let's say it's a training session. They will just be able to use my backbone that I created for them, drag the VMs, drop them to the canvas, and the network automation process would connect them automatically to the existing, to the correct places in the predefined backbone. And this is a situation that we couldn't even think about it in the previous model. So last item is our ability to control or to easily create and extend my network to a new subnet and its entire infrastructure or backbone that supports it. As I said earlier, the subnet object is one of the key objects in our network to provide, to preserve automation and to allow us for correct automatic processes. Now, it's very important for us to assist our users when they're creating additional backbone elements, to assist them in creating these elements in the correct way. When I say correct, it means in a way that would preserve every automated processes that we have. And we have a very a specific way of doing it. So now we are in the new networking feature, we are actually providing many kinds of wizards for creating a new switch, creating a new VLAN, creating a new subnet that allows the user and direct them to create these new elements in a way that will both provide the functionality that the user would want, but in the same time preserve the automatic process that is the full automatic processes in the network. So it allows us to create a very complicated network with just a click of a button, answering a few questions like, which subnet do you want your new DHCP server to serve? While I answer this, once I answer this very simple question, the entire network backbone of switch, ports, layer 3 services, NICs, the layer 3 services themselves, and the VLAN that is coming along with this operation, all of this is automatically created, and I have a fully functional and ready to use backbone including the DHCP server that I wanted to create.
Wow. Okay. It's like my brain is full after chatting with you for 45 plus minutes about all the new features. There is so much there. Very impressive. So for people that have been listening to this and are like, I got to try this. How do I try, you know, Oracle Revelo and give this thing a spin? Where do they go? Is there a website they should land on? How do they find out more information?
Absolutely, Ethan. So anybody who wants to try out the cool networking 2.0 features that Itzik and I have been walking us through can go to cloud.oracle.com/Revelo and click on the free trial button. Once you do that, it'll give you the ability to have a free trial of Revelo. And you know, basically test out all the networking 2.0 features over 4,000 vCPU hours over a course of 30 days and really try it out for yourself, kick the tires and see the value of it.
cloud.oracle.com/Revelo is what I've got there. Okay. And if you swing up and have the chance, let them know that the Packet Pusher sent you. Now, guys, we have a social audience, people that are active on Twitter and Facebook and so on. Do you guys blog or tweet where you'd like to share how folks can follow you, starting with you, Abhi?
You can definitely follow us on our Twitter handle at Revelo Systems. We have a ton of engagement, ongoing engagement over there. We also have a pretty active blog on revelosystems.com/blog. And some of the content is also available on Oracle Blogs, which is cloud.oracle.com/blogs as well.
Great. And what about you, Itzik?
This is the best way to contact me is via email. And like Abhi, I'm more of a behind-the-scenes kind of person. But I can be easily reached in itzikmusseri@oracle.com. This is itsik.musseri@oracle.com. I'd be happy to assist and help.
Thanks a lot, guys. And thanks to you for listening to Packet Pushers today. And our very special thanks to Oracle Revelo for sponsoring this episode. Without our sponsors, we cannot do what we do. You can find this and many more fine, free technical podcasts along with our community blog at packetpushers.net. We are on Twitter at Packet Pushers. We are also on LinkedIn and Facebook. And if you wouldn't mind, take a minute and rate us on iTunes. We would appreciate it. Last but not least, remember that too much technology would never be enough.